Good evening, and welcome to the first full episode of Through the Wormhole. Tonight, we'll be taking a journey to the Giza Plateau, to the eighth wonder of the world, the Sphinx. A little background on modern history of it. Going back to the time of Napoleon, when Napoleon laid his eyes on it, and I believe it was around 1726 to 1730, all he could see was the Sphinx from the neck up. So there wasn't much known about it through much of what we will call modern history, as it was buried in sand. Until an enterprising and hardworking French engineer, Emile Bérezet, forgive my pronunciation on that, after more than a decade of hard work completing the excavation around the Sphinx in 1936. I can just imagine how exciting that must have been, you know, working painstakingly to pull that ancient wonder out of the sand and seeing it slowly take form as you're clearing away the debris and the detritus around it. Must have been amazing. And what did he find? But the Sphinx, sitting there like a dog, like the dog god Anubis, but without Anubis's head. A little side note on the Sphinx. The Greeks, when they discovered Egypt and the Giza Plateau, laid their eyes upon the Sphinx, and they believed it to be a representation of a lion. And the Sphinx is actually from Greek mythology, allowing for it to be called the Sphinx in their eyes, and it kind of stuck. Though in Egyptian mythology, there is no major lion god or deity, so odds are this was just kind of the Greek thing sticking to it. You know, when it was uncovered and they began to study it, they found that nowhere on it was there a mention of who or when it was built. But during this excavation, during the study of the Sphinx, they did discover the dream stele, a tablet found between the front paws of the Sphinx, that did they believe they credit now to Pharaoh Khafre. I hope I didn't murder that too much. You know, with all the curses and all that they always say around ancient pharaohs' tombs and such, I'd hate to have him come pay me a visit. So if you're out there, man, don't get up. Just keep sleeping. You know, perhaps one of the reasons they're doing this, you know, they're crediting it to him, is it would fit with traditional beliefs of how history's, ancient history's timeline went, which would put it built in 2500 BC, right around the time that the pyramids were constructed. However, there is some controversial evidence, some contradictory evidence, as you will, that it was actually built around 12,500 BC, more than 10,000 years earlier. You know, this is very controversial because it would change our mainstream belief of how ancient history really was, the timeline behind it, and when it started to change our view of technology for ancient humans, when we actually started building, creating, it would really affect much of what's written in our history books, much of what modern scholars view as truth. But again, truth can be very subjective in many ways. And if you close yourself in, you'll oftentimes miss things that could expand our own understanding, meaning that perhaps the idea of ancient civilizations being far more advanced, far more technologically capable than what we give them credit for. Perhaps this is because we do this out of fear that, you know, they may have been smarter than us, or just the disbelief that how can we go through such a time that we can be so technologically advanced and almost go back to technically Stone Age technology and then re-advance again. I do have some other theories on that, but that is for another episode where I can really focus, and I will build up to that with some of my podcasts to allow more broader idea. So when I present my core theory, you guys already have the evidence. You already have the knowledge to make your assumptions. So please don't cast anything out of hat. Open minds, hear it out, and let it stew, let it simmer. Right or wrong, it's just kind of cool to explore. All right, so a geologist, Robert Scoach, points to actual water erosion on the Sphinx that is not on the pyramids at Giza. That is very, very important to point out. This erosion does not appear on his pyramids. Obviously, there's erosion, but this specific water erosion would have occurred over thousands of years. Consistent rainfall like that in Egypt has not been seen since 7,000 to 12,000 years ago. This is going by geological surveys and studies, meaning there is actual geological confirmation of this theory that the erosion on it would have taken place far before the pyramids were created at the Giza Plateau. A line on the Dream Stele actually states, obviously slightly paraphrased, as I'm sure the ancient Egyptian, the English translation's a little rough, "I have been here since the first time." Zep Tepe is what it's called. Most mainstream historians, archaeologists, believe this time to actually be a legend. It's a time that is stated as it's when gods walked with humans, with mortals, if you will. It was a time of great technology. I believe it's a time that much of this alien belief, and I'm not saying aliens, it's not really where I feel it comes from. I don't believe that we have alien influence. I'm going to say that. But I do believe that, you know, it's that time, the Zep Tepe time period that is mentioned, that is believed to be legend, when gods walked with mortal man, is a time when the idea of ancient aliens coming in, having influence over mankind, actually sets in. To me, personally, I do believe in the Zep Tepe time period. I believe there's evidence throughout the world that I will present to you over time that will showcase the Zep Tepe. And again, I may be pronouncing that wrong. Hopefully there's no pharaohs rolling over their graves. I do have some theories that I'll touch on briefly that I feel perhaps explain that time period of, if you look at the modern world, we have tribes, indigenous tribes in parts of the world that shun modern technology, that for all intents and purposes live in a hunter-gatherer tribal, some even rumored to be cannibalistic type environment. While we fly to the moon, while we launch rovers to space, Tesla, there's a Tesla floating around in outer space. You know, and yet these people still literally rub two sticks together to get fire. So is it so unreasonable to believe that there may have been a time period when a more advanced civilization came into the Egyptians' life and changed their building technology, helped them grow, that they would have been viewed as greater than human, more than mortal, because they had technology far in advancement of what the Egyptians had? Is it hard to believe? Not exactly, because it happens all the time. You know, in you know, even around me, we have the Amish who shun most modern technology and live right alongside of us. So is it hard to believe that there have been other civilizations more advanced than the Egyptians? It's not that far of a stretch. And remember, our measurement of time, the hour, the day, the month, the year, really is created by us. Our day-night cycle, our 24-hour period is based on that. Even the calendar has been changed from, I believe it was 10-month to a 12-month calendar. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. There may have been a couple other months in there to allow the Roman emperors to have their names put in. August, July. See, so what does that say? Time is relative. Measurement of time is relative. So, you know, for us to say, oh, well, there was no modern civilizations 12,000 years ago. Well, how do we know for sure? Because things can be lost. Our technology nowadays is so fragile that long before 12,000 years, if we disappeared today, there'd be no trace of most of our technology because it would disintegrate and disappear. See, that's what we need to look at. But I'm getting a little off track on our Egyptian friends, our friend the Pharaoh. The going theory is, that I take to personally, is that Mr. Pharaoh, we'll just call him Mr. Pharaoh K, okay? Mr. K, the Pharaoh, decided to take the Sphinx's head and change it to his own likeness. To the winners go the spoils, so to speak, and changed so he had a monument to himself. If you look at the Sphinx, with its dog-shaped body setting as it does, the head is not in true proportion to the body. It's much smaller. And if we haven't noticed anything about Egyptian engineering and architecture, they're pretty precise on their building techniques. So the odds of them accidentally shrinking the head of the Sphinx as it was built, it's kind of a stretch. You know, it really does retain back. But then you go back to the water erosion. You know, maybe by the time that pharaoh came around, there was damage to the face and it was starting to crumble in ways. So he went ahead and changed it to his likeness, got himself a free giant statue of his awesomeness, and fixed the broken face on the Sphinx. Not that far-fetched when you really think about it. You know, but if it wasn't a lion's head originally, and it wasn't a pharaoh's head, what was it? Anubis? The dog god of the necropolis? Guardian of the necropolis? There are miniature statuettes of Anubis in the same positioning and stance found throughout Egypt. Guardian of necropolis. What else is the Giza Plateau? Tombs, a necropolis of dead pharaohs and deities and, you know, all sorts of very important people for the Egyptian society of the time. So why is it so hard to believe that Anubis wouldn't be built, a giant Anubis statue honoring the dog guardian of the necropolis, protecting the ancient pharaohs, the ancient rulers of Egypt? It's not a far-fetched idea, and it makes a lot more sense. And if you would rebuild the head to proportion to the body before it was turned into a pharaoh's face, Anubis makes sense. Since there is no lion god or deity to the Egyptians, but there is Anubis, and we know they were very big on their Anubis. Just as my wife is on Blight Labs, and they love their dogs too. And their cats. So, as we look at it, and we do the studying, and we start putting it all together, and we're really looking at the stuff, you know, They say it's Karafi's face. Oh, sorry. Farrokay. So I don't get him mad at me. Modern historians believe that that's his face. But even that's come into question, as there aren't a lot of actual depictions of his face. Even that's come into question. It may not even be him. Then again, changing the age of the Sphinx. There's so much we don't know. And yet we take so much as fact. They write it as fact. They create this factual idea. Oh, well, it's fact, but we don't know. Another geologist, seismologist, did a he did some special scans of the ground. Forgive me, it's a tongue twister for me, and I just don't want to kill it. He was a seismologist. They discovered hidden places under the Sphinx. But Egypt hasn't allowed, officials haven't allowed, they've denied excavation and further study into these chambers. Perhaps the answers, the very answers to one history of advanced humans truly appears, lies beneath the Sphinx. Perhaps Anubis, guardian of the necropolis, is guarding far more precious information of our history, of the history of the world, beneath its paws, beneath its body, that could shed so much light on the ancients, so many things that we don't know, that there are answers out there that could be that close, but they won't allow it. Do I think that the Egyptian government is doing a mass cover-up? That they are using some form of conspiracy to cover up the secrets? No. I believe in the current political state of the world and all of that. They're just being defensive. And is it that wrong to look at them and say, that's your history? If you want to hold it and not explore it, that's your choice. It's a great loss to people all over the world. But it's understandable. But perhaps with the right dialogue, with the right viewpoint, someday we can enter the Sphinx, go beneath Anubis, and see what that good dog has been guarding for possibly 12,500 years. That's a long time. That could be some really awesome secrets down there. Some lost information. I'm not talking about treasures of money or gold. I'm talking history that could change the whole dynamic of the world. Could be right there, so close. But is it possible that historians are afraid to give us the truth? To let you and I know the truth, because if they're wrong, if everything that they understood and they steadfastly have held to is wrong, it takes away their power, it takes away their credibility. And no matter how much we as people don't want to admit, we hate being wrong. We hate to admit that when we're wrong. That one of the strongest ways to be a strong person and to get better is to admit when we're wrong and when we made a mistake. Because once we start accepting our shortcomings, our mistakes, and our errors, we start to grow. So is it possible that in hubris, historians are denying one of the greatest finds ever under what has been called the eighth wonder of the world? That poor Anubis, after a facelift, perhaps the first recorded plastic surgery, to go from a dog to a shrunken-headed pharaoh, has the secrets that it's been diligently guarding no matter what. Truths that couldn't change our understanding, bring light to things. I'm excited for the day that the Egyptian government says, come on in, let's find the truth. Let's see what that good dog is hiding and guarding. I think it will be amazing. And if it changes our view of history, why would it be so bad if our view of modern history and ancient history had to change a little? I mean, we grew up in my generation believing Christopher Columbus discovered America, only to find out that the Vikings beat him here. And possibly even they were beaten. And if you want to get technical, Native Americans discovered America before anybody else, at least that we know of. I mean, we assume there was nobody before them, but you never know. But that's the point. History changes every day because history wasn't recorded the same as it is now. And even now, history is in the eye of the beholder, and the eye is written by the winners. So many things that we've taken for granted have changed over time, from Christopher Columbus. Oh, and that's one. And I don't know if I'll get to it, but there's theories that Christopher Columbus didn't really exist. An interesting tinfoil hat discussion there. Maybe we'll do a round April Fools or something, one along those lines, where we bring up some of those. But the Sphinx is real. How old it is, we don't truly know. We can apply theories, but again, all we have is theories. And I'm excited to think that maybe advanced civilizations of humans really did exist, and that something changed. As I said, I have a theory on that I will build towards and present you one day. But for right now, just think about the Sphinx. What it means, what discoveries await us still, buried in that sand, that may prove that we are far more than what we think we are. I think with that, I'm going to wrap up for the evening. If, you know, it's been great having you listen today, and if you really enjoy it, I really love it. If, you know, you continue to listen and share it with your friends and family, get the word out there. I really want to see this grow and become a true community. I know I said I was going to have a Facebook page. I'm actually thinking about doing a MeWe page and a couple others as well. But for right now, you know, just enjoy what we have and let's get this growing. You're all great, beautiful people. I love you all as human beings. We're all special our own way. And don't be afraid to have your own ideas, your own thoughts, and don't let anybody else talk you out of them. We are amazing creatures. And it's time we started acting like it. Good night, everyone.